Hello and welcome to the Innovative Missional Ministry Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner, video journalist and digital media director for the Michigan District. Today, we're joined by Pastor Paul Kolick from Hope Lutheran Church in Linden and their evangelism chair, Kim Colmer. First of all, thanks for joining us. And it's pretty cool what's going on at Hope and in the community in Linden there when it comes to youth and the ministry that you've got going on.
Well, one of the primary things that we've been trying to do is build relationships in our schools and with our area youth. And we have, over the years, we've built up a very good relationship with the superintendent, the principal, and individual teachers. We've been blessed to have opportunities to go into the schools and to, talk to the kids. And we actually have programs that bring the kids to Hope. And I'll let Kim talk to you about some of those programs we're doing.
Well, we back up to Linden School. So our mission field is a short walk across the paved parking lot. We have a huge mission field there. So we do a number of things. Our outreach to the school started many, many years ago with a lunch visit. And we actually had a series of tragedies in the community. And so we started doing lunch visits where we go to the high school and we would just have trivia questions, not anything religious, just whatever, you know, and we had candy. And so if you came and attempted to answer our trivia question, you got a piece of candy. It was just that simple. And that moved into a mentoring program with Kids Hope USA that we partner with. So we're in two schools with that. And then that moved into a program we call OASIS, which is an after-school program for Linden Middle School students. It's free, and they come to our building after school because it's just a short walk.
In the OASIS program, Kim goes over to the school and walks the kids over, and it starts off with a devotion. So they're hearing the gospel, they're hearing the message, and then we have a really good group of volunteers. We've got a craft room, we've got game rooms, we've got pool table, a gym. Mm. And we have our folks interacting with them weekly, building relationships with them, talking to them. We pray with them. It's pure outreach.
Yeah. And then once if they've come through our program, and we have upwards of 80 kids on our roster. We never have 80 kids at once. We usually land at about 30 to 40 kids a week. But once they've gone through the program as a middle schooler, then they can come back if they want and be a volunteer in high school. So we probably have a dozen kids that come back every week as high schoolers and help run the gym, help play dodgeball, help clean up from crafts. And again, all kids that are mostly unchurched that are hearing the gospel every week in small bits, but in large bits, just in the love and support we show them.
And Pastor, we talked earlier, and you go over to the schools, whether it's the middle school, the high school, and you spend your lunch hours there, right? And talk, if anybody wants an ear, or if they want to talk, if they want to ask you questions, you're there.
Yeah, not as much as I'd like, but we do get over there. We have a table. We do the little trivia questions, and that opens the door to them asking other questions. And we've had some wonderful, even prayers with kids that are going through things. So again, it's getting yourself in a lot of it's just a ministry of presence, being there and having an open ear and a willing heart to talk to the youth and the kids. And really, we've got a wonderful group of volunteers here that invest a lot of time and a lot of passion for the youth in our community, because they're really primarily unchurched. And there's very few that are coming here in our OASIS program that are active anywhere.
Why has it been such a good focus for you guys, especially connecting with youth and planting those seeds?
I think a location has a lot to do with it.
Our location, we back right up to the schools, but I think because we've been consistent, Because we love them. I mean, we've had some interesting conversations, especially in the last couple of years, like with the high school kids that come back to volunteer, who think that they are some other gender and some, you know, just all the stuff that they hear in the world. And, you know, we're able to have a conversation with them about it that you couldn't just, you know, with somebody that you just met. But these are kids that were here for 3 years for a middle school program, and now they're a year or two into high school. So like Paul said, it's a ministry of presence, and I think they know that it's safe, that we love them, even if we don't agree with, you know, the path that they're going down, and they know that it's safe to talk to us, you know, as well. And the school is open to us doing things because, you know, we're very careful not to cross the line when we're there for like for a lunch visit or mentoring. But just in the last few years, now we've added a ministry to our staff, to the Linden staff, and that's everybody from a custodian to a bus driver to a teacher to the superintendent. So on the very first Friday every month from 6 to 9 a.m., we have coffee and donuts free for them.
Yeah.
And so some come and stand around and drink their coffee and chit-chat and break down in tears sometimes over something that they need prayer for, and some buzz in and out and get their coffee. But, you know, we're just very well known in the community and as a safe place, both for them, but especially for the kids.
Yeah. And that's really cool that you're able to do that for the teachers too, and the staff, the administration over there at the schools. I have to imagine that makes it so much easier for you to connect with kids, or even connecting with those teachers as well.
Oh, I think that if you haven't done something in your district or in your community, that's probably your first step, is offer something like that up to your staff. I know I have a friend at a church in the Flint area, so they do something similar in that they adopt a school. And by adopting the school, I mean they adopt the staff. And so every month, somebody, you know, everybody's assigned to a teacher or an administrator, and they send them a note, just a note of encouragement every month. And I think it's those kind of things that you have to do to get your foot in the door for them to realize that you're safe. And then, you know, you can start doing the kid things.
We hear the stories all across, you know, not just our state, but our country, of what's happening in our schools and all this kind of stuff. How difficult do you find it right now working to just connect with kids and then being that ear or that voice to help them too?
You have some tough conversations, and they need to know that they're loved, I think, before you can have them. And
for sure.
And that's what really what it comes down to. You know, we're here for you. We love you, but we're not going to lie to you. And But I think they have been very, you know, they know that we love them, so they have not, you know, acted in anger or resentment, and are open to hear the truth in the gospel, both the law and the gospel. How they respond to that, you know, that's the Holy Spirit working on their hearts. But you know, we are faithful, and we're faithful in showing that love, and we're faithful in sharing the message. And I think that's what God calls us to do.
We have a lot of volunteers that love those kids very well. When we start the school year off every year, we offer them a Bible or a Bible and a devotion, or just a devotional book, whatever, free of charge. And like Paul said, you know, we've had difficult conversations. I have a high schooler right now that comes that last year pulled a rainbow flag out of her backpack and was wearing it as a cape, you know, and I had to say, you need to put that away. In this building, you need to put that away. And she said, why? And I said, you know why. We've had the conversation before, and you know how we feel about it. And so I respect your right to do whatever you want with that flag when you're not in this building, and you need to respect us. And she put it away, and she's still a volunteer here, you know? So I think that that's important, because I think sometimes, whether it's what they really hear or what the media tells them that Christians are like.
Testing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, she was still loved. You know, we still loved her. We set a boundary. She's respected the boundary ever since. And she's one of our key volunteers this year, probably.
So obviously there's been a huge shift in our society, and especially it was just accelerated so much since COVID. How have you had to change your ministries?
I don't know that we've changed them a lot in Linden, really.
No. I mean, initially there was, you know, obviously the problem put everything on hold.
Right.
And it was probably a slow restart to get everything, you know, ramped back up. But, you know, we're still doing what we were doing. But we're doing, and we've kind of added some things, you know, obviously, as far as the church with the media and putting things online and doing those things. But as far as the outreach, you know, it's still one-to-one. It's in person. It's that you have to build relationships. I don't think you can do that, you know, through your phone or Facebook.
Yeah.
What are some of those things that you found have worked in doing this ministry? And you say, obviously, it's the building relationships is the huge thing. And then maybe what are some of those things that don't work quite as well?
You don't go into this thinking that you're going to suddenly get all these families that come flooding into your church, because it hasn't happened for us, quite honestly. But that's not why we do it. So that would be the toughest thing. I think it's probably the toughest thing, even that some of our members at times have commented, you know, why do we do this? We don't get anyone, you know, to come to church from this. My comment about Oasis, when somebody commented on that to me back to him, was, well, they're here 3 hours every week. How much are you here? You know, I mean, they're here for 3 hours with a whole group of Christian people that are loving on them and who are being Jesus with skin on, you know, who are praying with them. And I mean, there's always just the challenges of kids and having enough volunteers, you know, to supervise something like that. We do the mentoring program. We could mentor as many kids as we could get volunteers for. That one can be a challenge.
And I think probably outreach is only limited by the amount of volunteers that you have. And especially this year, one of the things that probably have changed is we sit down, you know, at the and plan for the next year, the things that we're going to do. And we've made a real focus to see what else is going on in the community, so we don't overlap things. We're not doing things that other people are doing. Where can we add on? So we do, you know, National Night Out. We do Hollywood holiday happenings. You know, we have a couple kids tables. We do a game table, a craft table. So if there's things going on in the community, we make our, you know, that going back to that ministry of presence. We're here. And you know, kids, we have a heart for our kids, because I think as a society we're losing our kids. Mm-hmm. Even in the church, we're, you know, our kids are being pulled in so many different directions, and we need those relationships so that we can have those talks and really share God's word with them in those difficult times. And so I mean, we're not just, our outreach is not just focused on the schools, it's also focused on the community. Mm-hmm. And we're invested. This is our home. I mean, I grew up, you know, on the lake here. We spent our summers here, and then on a farm over in Byron in the winter. So this is my community. This is the people of the church here. This is their community. They're not coming in from, next town over. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're invested in this community because it's our community, and we've made that a priority.
And if the school knows that. I mean, the school district and organizations in town know that. It's kind of amazing to me sometimes when there's a community thing going on and we're the only church there. I don't understand that, but whatever. But if somebody in the community needs something from a church, almost always we're the first call. You know, and we know those people because of our activity, because of the kid things that we do. I mean, a lot of them have had kids that went through our programs. We had a very, very active VBS here for about 20 years. We're changing to a different program now this year, But again, just a lot of kids that have come through our program, come through our doors, a lot of parents that know we're a safe place.
If you were to give advice to other churches or to try to help out in any way, what would you tell them as a way to get started, in a way to work to connect with whether it's youth or your community out there?
I would try to connect with the staff, the school staff. I think that's a starting point. You know, we're doing, we call it Friday Grind, with the coffee and the donuts, and the parishioners, you know, make treats, and just, you know, and talk to them, meet with them. That's, I think that's probably the place to start. If the administration's against you, you know, coming into the schools, then you're not going to come into the schools. And you know, that's, and we've, like, years we've, you know, been building this relationship, but I think that's probably the place to start.
Mm-hmm. The other thing you could look into would be if your church isn't familiar with the Kids Hope USA program, which is a national mentoring program that started over on the west side of the state. And their motto is one child, one hour, one school, one church. So your church partners with a school to provide trained mentors, and you're paired up with just one kid, and you meet with them every week. And that's a good way to get into the schools too, because they need mentors. I mean, they, like I said, we can't supply enough mentors for the number of kids that our single elementary school has. So probably those two things would be your best in, because you got to get your admin, your principals, and your superintendent on board. You do that, then you can start to do, you know, the other things.
Yeah. Then you can move on to planting the seeds with the students, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, we got to the point that, I mean, we were at the middle school open house to hand out our Oasis information for our after school program. You know, it's not just a word of mouth. We're actually there on their pickup schedule night along with other tables. Yeah. But you don't get there overnight.
Well, Pastor and Kim, thank you both so much. So cool to hear what you're doing in the public schools there in Linden. It's truly a blessing for sure.
Yep, it's needed.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
And thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day. God bless.